Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
The Los Angeles Police Department admits to framing innocent people.
A commentary by Mamiya Abu-Jamal.
And reactionary California Proposition 21 targets oppressed nation youth.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. At the end of January, Los Angeles Police Chief Bernard Parks called for the district attorney to dismiss 53 criminal cases en masse because of evidence that police officers framed the accused. The district attorney has said as many as 3,000 cases may need to be reviewed in the wake of revelations by former pig Rafael Perez. As we reported earlier, Perez is testifying about cops lying and planting evidence to get convictions or justify the deadly use of force as part of a deal to shorten his sentence for stealing 8 pounds of cocaine from a police property room. According to Parks, at least 3 people who were wrongly convicted are still in prison. Perez's revelations are extraordinary only for the fact that they became public. Even leading cops and judges admit how common pig perjury is. Quote, Joseph McNamara, former chief of police in Kansas City, Missouri, and San Jose, has said he believes hundreds of thousands of police officers tell lies in court every year. Conservative U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Alex Kozinski has called this kind of police perjury widespread and described it as an open secret long shared by prosecutors, defense lawyers, and judges. This is why MIM calls all convictions in American courts into question and would move faster than Parks to dismiss a hell of a lot more than 53 cases. Parks and the district attorney place the preservation of the power and prestige of an utterly corrupt institution ahead of righting wrongs. They concede the small justice in order that the greater justice may continue. We are glad to see some wrong verdicts overturned, but at the same time, our disgust with this system and resolve to have done with it is strengthened by the realization that there are likely hundreds of thousands of others still in prison because of police lies.
In a few moments, we will bring you a commentary by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia is a black nation revolutionary fighting for his life on Pennsylvania's death row. Mumia was framed for the murder of a police officer because he is an outspoken opponent of American imperialism. With Mumia's access to the media limited, this commentary is read by the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League.
I am Justice Bruce Wright, a retired state Supreme Court justice here in New York. And all too often, law has little or nothing to do with justice. And law and order is the cry heard throughout America today. Politicians win elections by standing in the jailhouse door in their commercials, promising that that is where they will excommunicate all criminals. The more the politicians threaten to stop crime and imprison criminals, the more crime we have. Listen to Mamiya Abu-Jamal.
An impartial killing by Mamiya Abu-Jamal. The hungry judges soon the sentence sign, and wretches hang that jurymen may dine. Alexander Pope, The Rape of the Lock. The dog days of August 1982 drew several people to the pools in Chicago's Washington Park, strangers who would meet and thereafter be linked for life. Among them, Marilyn Green and Jerry Hillard, who would be shot to death after being robbed. Also, Henry Williams and William Taylor, two men who would give incriminating statements and testify against a man named Anthony Porter, who would be arrested based on these statements and on the testimony of a cop named Anthony Leonce, who swore Porter was the man he stopped, frisked, and released at the crime scene shortly after the killings, as the man was unarmed. Porter would be tried by a jury with at least one member who attended church with the mother of a victim. She told her fellows in the panel that deliberations weren't necessary. As far as she was concerned, they could vote guilty right then. this jury would convict of 2 counts of murder, 2 counts of armed robbery, and unlawful restraint against witness Henry Williams, and 2 counts of unlawful weapons use. Porter would be sentenced to 30 years for the robbery and unlawful restraint charges, and to death. He filed appeals to every court that he could, and was rejected by every one. When Porter complained of the juror, the Illinois Supreme Court found such a relationship was not prejudicial, and mere suspicion of bias or prejudice was not sufficient to reverse the verdict. The court majority neatly affirmed Porter's conviction and sentences thusly: "The clerk of this court is directed to enter an order setting Wednesday, May 21st, 1986, on which the sentence of death entered in the Circuit Court of Cook County is to be carried out." After several stays, Porter came within 2 days of death when the court granted a stay to examine his mental competency, occasioned by his low IQ. But the issue wasn't his competence, but his innocence, which was determined not by his defense lawyers, not by the state or federal judiciary, certainly not by the prosecutors, but by several young people, students of Northwestern University's journalism class. They solved the case in 4 months. After almost 17 years on death row, Porter walked away from the executioner after another man explained on tape how he killed the 2 swimmers in a drug deal gone sour. Late last December, one of the witnesses, Taylor, told Northwestern University students that the cops threatened, harassed, and intimidated him into testifying, and reiterated his original statement to cops on the crime scene that he didn't see Porter kill anyone. Ah, what of the actual killer? The cops interviewed him the day after the killings and tried to get him and his wife, who witnessed, to give testimony against the guy they had already fingered, Anthony Porter. Alstery Simon sat and listened as they tried to convince him Porter killed 2 people that he killed, and looked at mugshots of their key suspect, and promptly fled the state. Porter's appeal, opposed by the then state's attorney, now Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, was little more than an empty formality. Had the DA, state's attorney, County Judge R.L. Sklavowski, Illinois Supreme Court, or Chicago police had their way, Porter would have been dead today, years before his innocence was proven. But Anthony Porter, like most on death row, was poor, and that is the quality of legal representation he got. Poor. That factor, joined with police passion to convince witnesses they had the right guy, and the blind ambition of prosecutors and judges to use Porter like a political stepping stone, all but ensured his condemnation to death row and his remaining there. He got exactly the same kind of fair trial that hundreds get every day and will get tomorrow, and the same appeal. The system doesn't work. It wasn't designed to. It was designed to look like it does. It sucked almost 17 years of life from an innocent man whose alibi was treated like the cruel, cold, heartless joke of a constitution. That is, glanced at, spoken of, and ultimately ignored. By Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Reactionary California Proposition 21 targets oppressed nation youth. Known as Proposition 21, the Gang Violence and Juvenile Crime Prevention Act of 1998 was put before California voters in March. The proposition aims to break down the juvenile justice system and make it easier on all courts to get juveniles into adult prisons, serving adult sentences, and carrying adult criminal records. According to the state's analyst, passing the proposition would require building more than $1 billion in new jails and prisons in California, a state where the budget for prisons already exceeds the budget for all higher education. Proposition 21 gives the authority to try juvenile cases in adult courts to district attorneys rather than judges, as the law currently holds. It also requires adult trial for juveniles 14 or older charged with murder or specified sex offenses. According to one critic of the measure, under the current arrangement, when prosecutors request a waiver to adult court, California judges support them about 80% of the time. So the proposition would essentially codify and worsen the current practices. MIMNOTES has previously reported on studies proving that prosecutorial waiver of juveniles to adult courts does not reduce the juvenile crime rate. And according to a new study by the same group, the Justice Policy Institute, Black, Latino, and Asian teens are much more likely to be tried in adult court and sentenced to prison than are white offenders who commit the same crimes. Compounding the assault on oppressed nation youth in particular are the provisions in Proposition 21 to increase criminal penalties for so-called gang membership. If prosecutors can prove a crime was committed by a gang member, and gang is defined by prosecutors and police very broadly, then they can prosecute any member for conspiracy, regardless of their involvement in any particular crime. Dan McAleer from Justice Policy Institute explains it in this way. Quote, if a youth is sitting at home watching TV and two friends are arrested for car theft, that youth can be charged and imprisoned for conspiracy. The provisions for youth gang involvement are so far-reaching that any group of three or more youths can be called a gang and prosecuted. End quote. And Proposition 21 aims to increase prison terms for gang-related crimes from anywhere from 2 to 10 years on top of the original sentence. In the case of murder, if prosecutors can prove a gang affiliation, juveniles will be eligible for the death penalty. The proposition also makes it easier to prosecute crimes related to gang recruitment, allows wider use of wiretaps against known or suspected gang members, and requires anyone convicted of a gang-related offense to register with local law enforcement agencies. One of the worst and most vicious elements of Proposition 21 is the provision to reduce the dollar amount that defines felony vandalism from the current $50,000 to only $400. This could translate into state prison time for tagging, for example, or any action that an insurance company could put a $400 price on. Even worse, such low-level offenses could become strikes in California's infamous three strikes and you're out mandatory minimum prison sentences. According to McAleer, quote, the initiative also seeks to extend the three strikes law to more children by categorizing common schoolyard assaults as the equivalent of adult gun robberies. In other words, a child who gets arrested for taking lunch money from a classmate on two occasions and then is later arrested for possession of marijuana will potentially be subject to a mandatory 25 years to life adult prison sentence. End quote. Join us in exposing this reactionary law for what it is, an assault on oppressed nation youth. Most importantly, join MIM in building support for revolutionary struggle to overturn imperialism, which systematically oppresses America's internal colonies.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.